It is 1:04 here on the Midday Show, a very misty Tuesday afternoon on December 16th. Very misty out there. And it got us thinking about Stephen King's The Mist. We were talking about that a little bit earlier. Have you seen the movie, Haley?
No, and I heard Jeff Henry hadn't seen the movie either. I haven't even read the book, and I mean, I have a Stephen King collection. But so the movie's not good.
Not his greatest work.
Okay.
No.
All right.
And I'm talking about Stephen King, and I mean, the movie was flat, but even for Stephen King, it was just, anyway. I just look out the window today, and it just reminds me of The Mist.
Mm.
And
I
is
like
it weird
like
that
this.
Do you?
I do. I love this type of weather. I like it to be a little bit warmer, but when it's weird and creepy and misty and dark and wet, I really
especially
like it.
Around the holidays.
Well, of course. Who wants a white Christmas?
Yeah, exactly. Is it weird that I asked the finance chair of the City of Waterloo if you saw the movie? I thought it was a little weird, but I went with it.
I think, you know what? It's radio. It's intimate. You get to have these types of conversations. We discover things about our officials, and it's exciting.
Have you seen this Canadian Tire ad that everybody's been talking about online and on the news yesterday? It's an ad that is being called sexist and offensive. It promotes, quote, gifts for her. We've all seen that title in, you know, ads. We open up, you get your paper, whatever, you open up the ads. I mean, you go online, you know, people are online now and you have ads online and it has gifts for him, gifts for her. You Google it right now. 100 best gifts for him this holiday season. 100 best gifts for her this holiday season. This Canadian Tire ad, here's what was under the gifts for her section. A sewing machine, a hair dryer, crock pots, a chocolate fountain. I don't know how exactly that's for her. And a set of pots and pans. And a lot of people said, this is sexist. My goodness. Looks like a 1950s ad.
Yeah.
Really? I mean, is this sexist?
I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't even have noticed that, to be honest with you. I wouldn't have. And you see the amount of papers and junk and flyers, which is a whole other thing I have an issue with. The amount of junk mail and flyers I get kills thousands of trees, I'm sure, every day, which is something that is more important than this. A hair dryer. Okay. I don't know too many men who go out and buy a hair dryer. I'm fine.
So
to
fair
say,
enough. Hair dryer should be
I'm
there.
Fine to say I am a woman and I need a hair dryer every single day.
What about a sewing machine? Do you need a sewing machine, Haley? Because who sews? I want to know who sews
okay,
nowadays.
But there's a
I
huge.
Do.
You sew?
For costuming purposes.
There's
but
a huge surge in kind of crafts and do it yourself and being creative and having that outlet. I
know
think.
You're saying that because you scrapbook.
I love scrapbooks.
Haley scrapbooks.
They're really good. They're works of art.
I'm not saying
I'll bring
they're not
it
good.
In here when we're on Rogers TV one day so you can actually see. You know, I don't know. It doesn't. I understand, I guess, where people are coming from. Do you equate women with pots and pans? So that's the issue, right? Get
that's
in
the
kitchen
yeah.
and cook the food. My mom, and I was just talking to someone off air right now, and they said that the husband bought a microwave and, you know, everything broke loose there. My mom really wants a microwave. So if I were to buy her a microwave or Don, her partner, her boyfriend, were to buy her a microwave, she'd be thrilled. For years, my mom has wanted kitchen stuff. She wants tea towels. She wants spatulas. She wants knives. All those things I find terribly boring. I actually have to find her a carving knife, is it? Carving knife.
For like turkey?
I guess.
Yeah.
See?
Carving
knife. Carving
yeah.
knife.
I have to find her a carving knife before Christmas.
True story. One of my good friends for Steph's birthday got her an iron.
Okay.
Like
who
to iron
clothes. Though?
Who irons? I iron every morning. You don't iron?
No.
Is that I iron every morning.
Okay, well, you wear a nice, crisp dress shirt. I'm a little more cash. I mean, my shirt right now has holes in it, like the designed kind of holes.
That's true. You wouldn't iron that.
No.
But when Steph got the iron, we had that moment where she was like, are you freaking kidding me? Like, and this friend isn't listening, so because I don't think he knows, but.
Oh,
and
wait,
it was a male friend.
Bought Steph an iron. Okay, but that to me is just so not a gift, especially From a friend.
Did she ask for one? Like, there's a difference between asking for one. Okay.
No.
Okay, but why don't we get offended? Like, my brother loves to cook. He's got his own house. He's a young kid. He asked for a really nice stainless steel pots and pans set.
So I would love that,
okay,
by
and
the
I
way.
Would hate that. But why are we getting so up in arms about gifts for her? Every time you see gifts for him, gifts for dad, blah, blah, blah. It's power tools.
That's the thing. So is there, in that ad, is there a gifts for him
portion? No, I don't know. I don't know.
Because
it,
that's
it
exactly right.
Because
it
we don't talk about that because that's not the issue. The issue is that it's being sexist and you're telling a woman to get in the kitchen.
Well, people are too sensitive.
Like, let me open up the phone lines and see what people have to say. Do you feel like this ad is sexist? Does this offend you if you see a Canadian Tire ad that has been promoting gifts for her, which include things like sewing machines, a hair dryer, crock pots, a chocolate fountain, and pots and pans? 519-570-2545 locally, out of town, 1-800-570-5715. *570 by cell and by email, eric@570news.com. I think you bring up a good point, Haley, when you say that it does only seem to go one way, doesn't it?
We're
not getting offended by gifts for him, power tools.
Nope.
Well, because that's what you want your son to do. You want your son to use power tools, don't you?
Exactly. And I don't think you're saying that a woman can't use a power tool.
No.
They're just not marketed toward women. But if they are, then they're pink or some ridiculous color. It was like Bix put out
pens for her. That was the most ridiculous thing ever. I'm
never
sorry.
Heard about this.
What is that?
Oh, Ellen DeGeneres just blasted. It was hilarious. It's a few minute. It's an absolute just rant. And she's like, now I can use my pink pen.
That was the
funniest. And I can
thing.
Write notes and maybe I can study. And can I be a lawyer? Can I be a doctor with my fancy new pen?
It was pens for her.
Yes,
yeah,
pens
is
for
that
her.
Not,
that's how it was marketed, and they
it's
were
It's the most
pink.
Absurd thing ever.
So that's what I mean. Like, of course a woman can buy a power tool. My mom, okay, who I just said about always wants tea towels and kitchen stuff, my mom is the biggest do-it-yourselfer ever. YouTube is dangerous for my mother because when I go visit her on weekends, the floor is ripped up, the cupboards are rearranged, the, you know, walls are coming down. So my mom would also, I'm sure, love a power tool for Christmas, too.
Okay, Arlene is listening in the newsroom, and she says, of course it's sexist. Come in, if you're listening to this, Arlene. Come into the studio. I want to talk to you about this being sexist, and I want to know if you know that power tools, or whether you think power tools for him, if you would consider that being sexist as well. This is Cynthia on the line. Go ahead, Cynthia.
Hi there.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm an engineer, and however, I sew. I recently got married. I would love to get cooking tools and stuff. and you know what? I mean, power tools great too, but I don't know. I don't think it's that bad. I do think that people get a little too uppity. They're looking for anything to really get upset about.
Yeah,
I agree.
Listen, you know, I think it goes both ways, and I think we only ever talk about it when it's happening one way. We see a gift for her, and we see pots and pans, and we get up in arms, and we talk about it. This would not be in the news. No one would be talking about this if it was gifts for him with power tools. It just wouldn't happen. Arlene Dowell joins us in the news, in the studio from the newsroom. Who sent me an email saying, of course it's sexist. Is the mic on? Do we have it on now?
There we go.
Is it, why is it sexist?
For so many reasons. I got angry when I was listening and I just fired off an email real quick.
Enlighten me.
Because I'll just use my household. I hate cooking. I hate it more than anything.
Many women love it.
So, yes, they do. But who got pots and who got pans? About 5 pans for Christmas 3 years ago from my parents. Judd. Not me, because I don't like cooking. Judd likes the cooking. So, and the power tools, now I don't do a lot of the stuff around the house, but before I was married and everything, I had my own toolbox. I had my own tools, because who's going to fix the stuff when you're living by yourself? You're going to fix it. And who's going to fix it when, you know, I'm sitting by myself and a door falls off the hinges. But I have to fix it.
But why is this? You're not answering my question.
Because not all women like to cook.
And I agree. I don't like to cook either.
Not all men like power tools.
I'm agreeing with you. I'm totally agreeing with you. Like the whole gifts. I heard Haley say gifts for her being this and gifts for him being this is just wrong. They're just gifts for people.
Okay. We just make it great gift ideas then.
Well, wouldn't that make a little bit more sense? Because I do agree. I also don't cook. I don't fit that traditional, you are a woman and you make these beautiful meals. I have a lot of Campbell's soup.
My kids eat a lot of chicken nuggets.
Can I just say?
But I think the majority, can I just say, and again, I don't want to, but do you think it's fair to say, especially when you have a family and you have kids, or at least the way I was raised, the majority of women probably cook over men. And I just feel like that's, they're more tasked with doing those household chores.
Of course it's true. And that's not sexist to say.
So that's why the marketing, and I'm not saying it's right, but that is why the marketing is the way it is, right?
All right. Steve is on the line. Go ahead, Steve.
Hi there. Good afternoon. Interesting subject today. I think that the ads from Canadian Tire stuff are, they're just gift ideas. Like, I personally got an iron for Christmas 1 year. My wife knows I do a lot of the ironing and I needed a new iron, so she bought one.
Yeah.
I try and stay away from the kitchen stuff because a couple of years ago I bought my wife a popcorn maker and she really didn't like that.
I would love that gift, by the way.
I have one, the old school movie style one, and I really like it.
Is this particular ad, do you think it's sexist?
No.
Okay. Fair enough. Thanks, Steve.
My wife said she wants a ravioli maker for her machine.
Yeah.
You know what? I bought you a popcorn maker a couple years ago, and it really didn't go over very well.
Yeah, you've learned your lesson.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate that. Greg is on the line. Sorry. Go ahead, Greg.
Hey, Greg. I don't believe that this is sexist at all. I think the both of you guys agree with me, and I don't think it's sexist at all. I just typed in snowblower onto Google and just clicked on images, and every single image that had a person in it was of a man snowblowing. So, you know, if there was an ad in a store advertising snowblowers, or if it was in the category for gifts for dad or gifts for him or something, and it was a snowblower, would I be offended and say, oh, my wife expects me to get outside and put on my winter clothes while she stays inside and has a coffee or blah, blah, blah. No, of course not. It's just something that typically is done by men. It doesn't have to be at all. If she wanted to go snowblow, I'd say, cool. And at the same time, I make dinner in my house sometimes, too. She makes it probably more than I do. But that probably is a result of her being a lot better at it than I am. and same with things fixing around the house.
You know what, typically, Greg? You just nailed something very important. I just want to share this, okay? What you do is you fudge up dinner, right? And that way the other person will always do it. Jim, by email, is telling Arlene to take a pill. That's from Jim. And this is Steve on the line. Hi, Steve.
Oh my, what is the world coming to, Rick, man? Like, I got some underwear the other last Christmas. I wasn't unhappy. What am I supposed to get? You know, I just think this is really dumb.
Thank you for the phone call, Steve. It's dumb, but it got you to call in to a radio station, though. And that's this is the thing, right? I mean, some people will say, well, it's working clearly because you're talking about it. Right. I mean, and that's kind of where we're gotten to now. Right. Where a lot of people will do this kind of stuff because they know it's so people just rage about it. Mm-hmm. I just want to point out, have you, Arlene, seen the latest Taylor Swift video?
Yes.
OK. Where she's going around poisoning men and killing men.
Not paying that close of attention to it. So I've seen
not.
It.
Of course not. Because it's not a male. Think about the outrage. I just want to throw that out there. If you haven't seen the latest Taylor Swift video. It's called Blank Space, I believe.
She's poisoning the guys.
Go Google it. And she's stabbing guys. She's poisoning guys. Think about the outrage if that was a male doing that to women in the video.
Agreed.
So what are you agreeing with me on here?
I'm agreeing if that was a man in the video, that there would be outrage regarding that.
And there isn't. Because it's a woman.
It goes both ways. It's not just poor women. It goes both ways. For sure.
But you maintain this is sexist.
To an extent, yes, 100%.
Okay. You have news coming up, don't you?
Yes.
Okay, geez. We'll let you go. We'll be back with much more on 570 News.
Start your day with the basics. Traffic and weather together on the ones. 570 News Mornings.
1:23 here on the Midday Show. Thanks so much for being along in studio with senior talk show producer Haley Zimak. We're talking about the sexist Canadian Tire ad, and Linda says, enough already. The ad is suggesting different gift ideas. It is not sexist. They are not saying that all women like to cook, for example. Take it for what it is. Ideas. I guess to be politically correct, a store should only advertise gift cards, but what if you buy one from the wrong store? Smiley face from Linda. And of course, what if, for example, a gift card is pink? I mean, isn't that sexist then? I mean,
exactly.
What if a gift card is blue?
I know. I mean, I agree with what you said earlier. And I think, you know, to just call it holiday gift ideas again. But then people are going to say that's too much the other way, right? It's like when Canadian Tire actually, again, came out with the whole happy holidays rather than saying Merry Christmas. You know, there are gifts that obviously make sense for women, like a hairbrush, a hair dryer. Well, no, again, because guys use hairbrushes as well. Like, I understand the hair dryer thing.
I'm
I
balding,
do.
By the way. You see this
you
on the
side? You always bring this up.
I'm balding,
so you
guys.
Don't need a hair dryer or a hairbrush.
If anybody is thinking about being a talk show host, you got to think about your hairline. The stress
of talking about sexism and what isn't politically correct and what is.
I think you raise an interesting issue. Not an issue, a point. You raise an interesting point, and I think we all know it's true, and we've come to the point where we're so afraid to say it, is that there are gifts that women, generally speaking, would enjoy more than men.
Mm-hmm.
A hairbrush is probably one of them. Unless you're a male and you have long hair, then you probably equally enjoy a hairbrush.
Like, I love getting candles and lotion and magazines.
Me too.
I do not.
Well, that's the thing. I love those. And it's not, you know, I'm not a super girly girl. I can fix things and, you know, I don't cook and whatever. But I like those types of things. So why is it okay that that's marketed toward me and not someone like yourself? Like, my brother is really hard to get presents for, right? And now I am getting him a lot of kitchen stuff because he has a brand new house. I'm not going to buy my 20-something-year-old brother a nice relaxing aromatherapy kit with bath beads and candles and a Jewel soundtrack. Wow, I just went back to like 1995 there.
Jewel soundtrack.
I used to listen to Jewel in the Tub, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and I think, because Arlene is back... through email, and it says probably shouldn't read on air. So I'm that's a slug. I'm thinking about just not reading it, but I will. It all comes down to sexist roles that are constantly placed on men and women at the start at birth. Don't pretend it isn't true. It is. These items are gifts for everyone. I took my pill. Just
nice, Arlene. Well, and it's true, and that's why I wonder, is that why I didn't know? No, but Eric, I said this to you earlier. Do I somehow equate women and pots and pans? Because when I looked at that, or I don't think I would have noticed that. I would have, oh, yeah, and flipped through, right? Because I think we are so conditioned to think the woman is in the house.
So that's an issue, is what you're saying.
Yeah, but at the same time, if a woman wants to cook,
yeah, but
get
if
her
you
pots
if you
pans.
Gloss
if
over that, Haley,
wants what to I'm, cook,
if you
get
if
him
you
pots
gloss over that, though, some will say there's the issue.
Well, then
you don't see an issue with it, right? That's the issue, that you don't see an issue with it.
But I'm not saying that's right. I just say marketers know who they're marketing to and who they're targeting. So yeah, of course it's not right. And of course it's sexist to say a woman gets a sewing machine, a woman gets a pot and pan because that's what she does. But is it true? Can it be true? Yes. Is it always true? No.
But is this not the exact same issue as kids' toys? You know, girls'
remember the
toys.
Sexist
what's
PJs?
Girls' toys? What's boys' toys?
Yeah.
Like, it's
well, that's
the exact
exactly
same
it.
Thing,
yeah.
But older.
Remember the PJ issue?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was an entire thing. Target store locally.
Yep, I remember.
And you're like, you know, it's not an issue to me.
I understand how and why it's an issue. I understand there are broader implications. I personally, though, me as Haley Zimak, mm-hmm. that I don't care. That doesn't put any stock in me personally. Okay? Like, when I see that, that doesn't offend me. It doesn't enrage me. It doesn't make me want to go out. It doesn't make me feel like my place is in the kitchen because they're selling pots and pans to me. Because you know what? I understand where my place is. It is where I want it to be. If that's in the kitchen with new pots and pans, which it isn't, then I'll go out and buy those pots and pans.
No, it's in the talk show department office.
Thank you. As a single, independent, working woman. But do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I completely understand. That's why I wanted to talk to you, because I think it's an interesting perspective. That's all.
It doesn't bug me. It doesn't affect me. It doesn't change who I am or affect me in any way.
It is 1:27. Thank you for your phone calls and your emails. We'll be back with much more here on 570 News.
Canada's gardening expert Mark Cullen hosts The Green File. Catch up with Mark's weekly gardening reports available on the audio page at 570news.com.
All right, it is 1:35 here on the Midday Show. Time now for a tech spotlight. And this is very cool. I'll be introducing Kat Code, the founder of Binary Tattoo, very shortly. Now, Kat is a technology lover and a parent who is looking to help inform other parents and kids on what is a responsible and safe practices in the online world. We'll get her on the phone just a couple of seconds here, but she's here to discuss the factors her and other parents deem an appropriate age for youth to have their first smartphone. And I know a lot of people at this time of the year, there it is, the holidays, are looking to get into that. And perhaps if you have a young a daughter or a son, you're thinking about a smartphone. And Kat Code joins me on the line now. Hi, Kat. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing very well. So tell me, first of all, how did you get into this?
How did I?
Yeah.
I spent 12 years doing software development and architecture at an unnamed large device company in town. And I realized I was really fortunate as a parent to have such a good tech background, given that my kids are growing up in this digital age. And then when I actually looked into it, I realized I didn't actually know anything about what was going on online in social networking and privacy. And I've always loved to teach, so I created Binary Tattoo to teach people about their online identities and how to define them properly.
So if I go on binarytattoo.com right now, what are the types of things I'll be able to learn about?
So I have all sorts of safety tips. I talk about not just for parents and kids, but I mean, seniors is a big demographic right now online. Things about keeping your digital photos safe. I write a lot of blogs and safety issues. I also have a parent contract, which I will talk about, which is a great way to set up a thing in advance before you give a kid a device to be able to say, these are the parameters in which I want you to use this device or that you agree to use the device.
When is a good age?
That's the tricky question. So there's a difference between the hardware and the software. So actually giving someone a device to play with, if they're using games and things, people are doing that as young as 10. I know there are kids that are as young as 3 and 4 who have their own iPads. If you're connecting to the internet, you are both uploading and downloading information, right? So parents need to be aware that their kids are putting in information that is public and permanent. So in order to regulate all of this, there was a governing body in the States, which governs all of North America, and they created COPPA, which is the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act, which is a mouthful. But they decided that children had to be 13 in order to make mature decisions. And COPPA now governs all the social networks, so Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Google, which of course owns YouTube and Gmail, and all children are supposed to be 13 years old to be on these services.
It's pretty easy. It's pretty easy to lie, though, isn't it?
It's very easy to lie about. So this is where the problem comes in, is if you lie about your age and you're on the service, and I know most kids are because I do a lot of speaking engagements with students, and when I ask 9 and 10-year-olds how many people are on Facebook, at least 50% of them put up their hands. So the problem with that is if you're 10 years old and you register for one of these services and you say that you're actually 13, when you turn 15 years old, the service believes you're an adult because they have you registered as being 18 at that point. And that means that your information is fair game for all these advertisers. I also had an 11-year-old girl come up to me after a presentation the other day and told me she was getting Match.com emails to her Google account and didn't understand why.
Wow.
It's because her parents had registered her Gmail address under their birthday. So according to Google, she is over 18 and she is allowed to receive this advertising.
So when parents are making the decision whether or not to purchase a tablet for, you know, one of their kids, I think a lot of the time we end up forgetting that, sure, you could buy that for your child to play games on, but remember that they can go on Facebook and Twitter and a lot of these social media sites.
Exactly. So, yeah, you just need to set up some kind of parameters with your child in advance and say, this is what you're allowed to do on this device. These are the things I'm okay with. Another thing to consider is when they're downloading games, most of these games should also fall under COPPA. And if they don't fall under COPPA, sometimes they don't ask for parental permission. That's another question I often ask kids is, do you ask your parents for permission if it doesn't specifically stipulate that? And most of them say no. So it's a really good thing for parents to say to kids, no matter what you're downloading on this device, please just at least show me your applications first,
right,
or let me see when you're downloading it.
Now, you mentioned seniors as well. That's an interesting demographic that are online and on social media more than ever, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so they're the fastest growing demographic. The problem with seniors is because they're late to the game, they haven't been given a lot of the rules. And so they are the least tech savvy as a whole. And they want to be, I mean, they're the ones that add goofy comments on Facebook to all their grandson's pictures and say, you're so cute, because they don't really understand what they should and shouldn't be doing on there. But the real concern with seniors is that they're most susceptible to things like scams, because when you receive an email that has your friend's name on it and the email looks sketchy, you might be skeptical of that email. But grandparents who receive emails from their grandchildren don't doubt the content. And they don't realize that someone else could send them an email with their grandchild's name on it.
How does something like cyberbullying play into, knowing exactly what's happening online?
So one of the biggest tips for cyberbullying, from a parental perspective, is to make sure that your children know that you're not going to take away the systems if they're cyberbullied. That is the number one preventer that all these psychologists have found from children to report the cyberbullying to their parents, is they think they're going to be doubly punished by having the thing taken away as well. So you want to make sure kids know if you're cyberbullied on Facebook or you're cyberbullied on Twitter or Instagram, wherever it is, tell me. I'm not going to take away your privileges. I'm just going to help you deal with the problem.
Do you believe, or is there any way of knowing how many parents, educate themselves and understand everything we're talking about before they decide to make a purchase of a tablet or a phone for a child?
I honestly don't think many do, and it's not their fault. They don't understand the technology either. It looks like a simple gaming system or a simple thing to do. In a really extreme example, it's like buying your 13-year-old a car and leaving it in the driveway and saying, you can sit in it and you can play music on the CD player, but you can't drive it.
Right. Yeah, I mean, who's not going to drive it?
Yeah. Especially with a nice car.
Yeah. We are on the line with Kat Code of Binary Tattoo. How have you found that your website is helping people out? I mean, it's because to me it seems like we all, technology changes. All of these things start coming out, and we all want a little bit of piece of it. And what I mean by that is everybody's on it, so we figure we should get on it. Everybody I know has an Instagram account, so I figure, okay, I should get an Instagram account, right? I mean, it's just there's a lot of pressure to be on this kind of stuff just because others are doing it.
Yeah, exactly. And especially for teenagers. Teenagers are interesting because they don't use it in the way we do as adults. As adults, we use it as a time waster or as a way to connect with old friends. Teenagers, actually, that is their social fabric now. That is the way they communicate with other teenagers. And so it's very difficult because, everyone wants on the bandwagon. You're right. Everyone's using it. And I know a lot of parents who have tweens, and the tweens will say the same thing, and they'll say, but all my friends have it. I need to be on it. But one of the big issues is they're on it so much that this FOMO, the fear of missing out, they end up sleeping with their devices. They become addicted to having them. They won't release them in the evening again. Another reason to have a contract, tell your kid, 10 p.m., 9 p.m., whatever that time is, that they're done.
FOMO, did you say?
FOMO, yes. The fear of missing out. How many times have you left the house without a cell phone and go, oh my God, I'm missing something?
I'd rather leave my wallet at home, Kat. Seriously.
I know. It's true, though. Like, we all have this now. You're so used to being connected. It's the fear of missing out. But I mean, again, parents always say they don't understand who's sending texts at 2 a.m, 3 a.m, but they're doing it. Somebody must be doing it.
In fact, what I've done now, because I have left my phone at home before and I thought I was like I was naked, if that's what it felt like. I just got a case for my phone now where I keep my cards and my other things inside the case. It's like one of those wallet cases.
Yeah.
So now I know I won't leave it. I'll always be with my driver's license and my credit cards because I care about my phone more than my wallet.
Yeah,
so.
it's an extension. It's your fifth limb right there.
One of the other things that I wanted to bring up is also that a lot of this is actually scary for people, right? I mean, like, it's technology. A lot of people don't understand it and they're afraid of it, so they don't go near it and they just jump on because other people are doing it and they don't care to learn about it because it's scary.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the key things if you're going to use anything and to look at it is to check privacy settings. I mean, there are privacy settings. Even Instagram has privates and Twitter has a private account that you can set up. You don't have to tweet to the world. You could just tweet to a small group of people. You could be on Twitter and not tweet anything. You could just be an observer. So you can use the technology without ever posting. The concern comes when people, you're right, don't understand the technology and they post things, especially to public audiences. There's also a huge misunderstanding about profile photos. Profile photos are always public. It doesn't matter what privacy settings you have set. And especially teenagers, you see them posting all sorts of scantily clad photos or beer drinking photos, and those photos are permanent parts of their digital identity.
I had no idea. I had no idea. So you're talking about, like, you know, like your Facebook profile picture.
Yeah.
Really? So no matter what the private settings you have or no matter what your settings are, that is always public?
Always. And same with your cover photo.
Well, there you go.
Always.
I've learned a lot. Kat, thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
All right. Kat Code right there is the founder of Binary Tattoo, binarytattoo.com. If you'd like to learn more, we'll be back right after this here on 570 News.
Get 570 News, traffic, weather, and up-to-date information right to your BlackBerry, iPhone, or Android. Anywhere and everywhere. Download the 570 News app at 570news.com.
It is 1:50 here on the Midday Show, and it is the Tech Spotlight. Joining me on the line now is Loretta Sacucci, the CEO of Blue Rover. Hi, how are you?
Great. How are you, Eric?
I'm doing very well. Thanks so much for being here. Tell me a little bit about what Blue Rover does.
Well, what we do is we're an engineering company, a manufacturer that makes products that is in the field of Internet of Things. So we connect everything that's manufactured has some kind of processor in it or sensor, and we're in the business of connecting everything and grabbing the analytics, providing real-time information to businesses or municipalities or individuals.
And you know, Loretto, you know, over the years, or I should say years, the months that we've been doing the Tech Spotlight, and, you know, we used to do the Tech Hour, I've been learning so much about some of the businesses that have been around here locally. Tell me about how long you've been doing this for, and why here in Waterloo?
We've been doing it for quite a while, actually. We've kept a fairly low profile. We started back in 2006. First 3-4 years were spent purely in the R&D, working on a concept, developing beta products and such, and making sure that we didn't have any problems, working out any bugs. But this area provides, specifically in the area that we're housed in, which is the Communitech building, provides a lot of the necessary attributes for startups and companies to launch. So everything from professional advice to assistance in engineering. We work a lot with the local universities and colleges. So it's really kind of a concentrated area for a lot of intelligence.
And we've been hearing that a lot about that support in this area. You know, when we talk about this area as well, I like saying this because people constantly call this area, Waterloo Region, the tech hub, the Silicon Valley of the North, right? And how have you seen that grow over the years?
Well, I've been fortunate enough to work on both sides of the border. So we also have a location in the original Silicon Valley of, say, California. So I've seen this area grow tremendously in the last 4 or 5 years. In this building alone, I think there's over 1,000 tech companies. There's probably over 150 or so in this building alone. So it's definitely, and we don't really take a second seat to anybody now. So the types of products that are coming out of here are all world-class.
How do we compare, would you say, to Silicon Valley?
I think from a technology point of view, we compare very, very well. We have a lot of great ideas coming out of here. Where we don't maybe compete quite as well is strictly on the finance side. There's a lot more, a much larger financial bench in the U.S. than in Canada. But products and ideas and software coming out of here are world-class.
Well, and I mean, that would just have to do with, of course, sheer numbers, right? I mean, it's they've been doing it for longer.
Yeah, no doubt. And they think, generally speaking, they think in bigger numbers.
Right.
In terms of funding.
So one of the things that I'm reading about you is M2M. That is machine to machine, correct?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. And so what you're doing is you're collecting as you had mentioned, you're transmitting, you're analyzing displays, sensory information in real time. And you have recently partnered up with a company and you're launching a marketplace for the Internet of Things. Can you talk about that?
Well, sure. Yeah, we've partnered up with several of the telcos in Canada. We've partnered up with TELUS. They have made just an announcement just recently about the Internet of Things. We've partnered with Rogers, who are making an announcement as well. And in the U.S., we've begun our partnerships with Verizon. And so that's one of our distribution strategies. Our channels is through the telcos. And they're expecting very large growth in terms of their marketplace. And so strategically, it made a lot of sense for us to use their channels to start moving more of our product.
And what's next for Blue Rover?
Well, we've just got into... Currently, we work in the fields of medical field, food, transportation, agriculture, pharma. But just recently, we got more into the entertainment aspects. And in fact, we're just launching a stadium play come the new year for the Kitchener Rangers, where you can actually participate in the gamification of the whole arena. You can choose what side of a game you're going to play, and you compete against your fellow audience members and be rewarded.
And I find that a lot of companies are doing that now, right? Where they're before, you know, for example, if somebody's been in the movies recently, before you watch a movie, there are things now you can do where you participate with your cell phone, with your smartphone prior to the movie so that you're not just sitting around, right?
Right.
I mean, that's along those kind of lines, right? When you talk about entertainment, is getting people engaged.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. A little different technology, but that's the exact point where you want people, the audience, to be engaged for those moments where there isn't a game or there isn't a movie playing, and you want to be able to capture information and reward people for participating.
How big is that sector, Loretto, that entertainment sector? How big is that?
Oh, well, if you believe the consultants, it's in the billions. The M2M, or the Internet of Things, is now the largest industry post after the Industrial Revolution. This is the largest industry of all time.
All right. And Loretta, I want to thank you for your time this afternoon. And the website, just going to throw it out there, it's bluerover.ca.
Right. Thank you.
All right, Loretto, thanks
right.
so much.
Have a
great one. Yeah, that is Loretto Sacucci right there, who is CEO of Blue Rover. It is 1:56 here on 570 News Midday. Coming up next, of course, is All News Afternoons. Laura Carney is back. Joe Pavia coming up to take you through the afternoon with traffic and weather together on the ones, of course. I am off for the rest of the week. Glenn Pelche will be filling in here on 570 News Midday, so tune in tomorrow, regular times 10 to 2. All News Afternoons is coming up next here on 570 News.